This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with our special guest this week, Marcus Peter. Marcus is a theology professor, teacher at Father Gabriel Richard High School in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He's originally from Malaysia. It's an amazing story of God's working in his life and brought him from kind of nominal Catholicism. He turned to atheism at a certain point, and then God brought him back. Marcus is unfolding that whole story for us. He has been engaged over the years in all kinds of wonderful mission work across Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, India, and places in the United States. He got his MA in theology from Ave Maria University in Florida. He's married to a lovely woman named Stephanie, and they live here in South Lyon, Michigan. So welcome back, Marcus.
Thank you, PJ. It's great to be back.
Yeah. So just for those who are listening today, maybe didn't tune in yesterday, didn't hear it, you were just finishing with an important story. You had just finished a rap concert,
right,
which you're kind of leading the band, and you're there, and you got a large crowd. Your parents came. You're excited that they were there. And then at the end of it, your mother looks at you and says what?
I was so proud of myself. I looked at her and said, how did the concert go? And she says, this is not the life you should be living. Her exact words, this is not the life you should be living. And she was far from proud of me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we drove back the rest of the drive in silence. And unbeknownst to me, my sister revealed this to me fairly recently, that that was the day she began praying the rosary every day for my conversion. I didn't know this until...
That your mother did, or your
sister?
My mother did. Yeah.
And occasionally she wrote my sister into praying with her. On the flip side, my father and I had such a bad relationship that I remember barely having a conversational relationship with him. This was largely due to faults on both parts. And as I continued in this very militant atheism, there were a bunch of people who told me, I will be praying for you. And some of them told me this in tears. People who knew me from the time I was really young, they said, I'll be praying for you. And of course, those prayers meant nothing to me at that time. But I attribute a lot of what happened after that to those prayers. So here I am continuing in this life, and that concert had just happened. And I was traveling, convincing people that God wasn't real, and with the express intention of driving them away from any belief in God, but particularly Catholics, driving them away from the church. So one day I sit down to talk to two people to convince them why God wasn't real. And these were two members of the band that I was with. They were Catholics. They were practicing Catholics. In fact, they were charismatic Catholics. Mm-hmm. So after about a half hour, maybe 45 minutes of my best arguments to pull them away from this faith, they look at me with this kind of knowing smirk. They had no intention of believing anything I just said. And all they did was, would you like to come to our prayer meeting? And they knew me. They knew that we didn't have performances on Tuesday nights. So they said, all we need is a basis. You don't have to believe in anything. Would you like to come to our prayer meeting? And I'm looking at them thinking, did you not hear a word I just said? But they said, no, we heard you. Just come to our prayer meeting. You just come and hang out with us. All we need is a basis. So this happened, to the best of my recollection, about a Thursday or Friday night. The prayer meeting was going to be on Tuesday. So I said, fine, I'll be there. You guys need a basis. I'll be there. But I'm not coming there to worship. I'm just coming there to play the bass. And I showed up that Tuesday with that express intention that I'm a fantastic bassist. I know better than everyone else in the room that your God doesn't exist and that you're probably worshiping something that doesn't exist. And I want you all to marvel at how good a bassist I was. And I was so full of pride in doing this. So there I was playing the bass throughout that night. The date was May 20th, 2008. And there I am playing the bass, and halfway through the prayer meeting, they went into this song called Be Magnified. It's a very, very old praise song. And for some reason, I lack the intellectual capacity to explain what happened next. And I have spoken to people about this after, and they said it was good that God did it this way with you, because you prize your intellect over everything else. God had to hit you in an unintelligible...
Yeah, he had to deal with your pride a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. He had to break right past my pride to that area of my heart that I didn't want to speak of. And he did. At the beginning of that song, for some reason, my hands froze. I literally couldn't run the bass anymore. So all of a sudden, for those who were listening to the music, they heard that the bass had stopped playing. And this is another thing that happened to me. At age 11, I came to the realization that if I was going to be an intellectual individual, I had to stop giving myself to outbursts of emotion. So at age 11, I trained myself to stop crying. No matter how painful the situation, I trained myself to stop crying. And for a number of reasons, just there were a number of painful experiences in life, and I just.
But you just turned it. I'm just not never gonna. No one's ever gonna see me crying. I'm not gonna cry anymore.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And I held this kind of stoic faith, and what I didn't know was in doing that I was bottling up all of that hurt, and it made me a very angry person. That day, so age 11 all the way till that day, I don't remember crying profusely at all. That day, May 20, 2008, my hands froze, and I physically felt awash with this revelation of unconditional love from heaven. The kind of love that forgave me of everything that I did in the past. The kind of love that was telling me that my self-worth was beyond what I could bring to the table achievement-wise. That I had an inherent self-worth, that I was worth loving to begin with. Mm-hmm. I wasn't worthless. I wasn't useless. Despite what many voices had told me in the past. And that shook me to the core. And I burst into tears. Now, for those people who knew me back then, they'd understand why that would be so jarring. No one would had ever seen me burst into tears that way. So I quickly turned my back to the crowd because I didn't want to see them.
You were used to controlling yourself at a high level.
Right.
Always projecting a certain kind of perfect image.
Right, that mask always had to be
very smart, very organized. I'm in charge. Don't worry about it. Follow me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, your heart gets touched and you're melting. In front of everybody.
I mean, melting's an understatement.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was shattered to the core. I just wept. I sobbed. I sobbed uncontrollably. And tears were running down my bass guitar. Like, I was sobbing. And again, I lack the words to describe this, but very genuinely, Peter, I saw Jesus without physically seeing him. I saw Jesus. And Jesus saw me. And for the first time, I realized that this God, the God of my parents, is real and alive. And here's the other thing. Growing up Catholic, no one told me that Jesus wanted a personal relationship with me. No one told me it was even possible.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know it was a possibility. So what happened next was a gift of the Holy Spirit. I said these words as if I knew what I was doing. See, logically, if God didn't exist, my intellectual responsibility to the world was drive them away from God. But if God does exist, then I possess an intellectual responsibility to make sure that this is the sole reason that I live for, and I must bring all people to this revelation.
Yeah.
So I said these words as if I knew what I was doing. I said, Lord, I know now you are real. My exact words. Lord, I know now you are real and I'm done living like this. You either take me entirely and use me entirely for the glory of your name or you leave me to die. And I know those seem like very harsh words, but there was no other reason to live. It was either God is real and I owe him everything or God is not real and nothing goes to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a C.S. Lewis moment, if you will.
Sure. And there's that precious moment, the way you put it was, you're able to kind of see Jesus in some way and to know he was communicating with you. You didn't see him with your physical eyes. That's the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the special mission of the Spirit is to reveal to every human heart the glory and majesty of Jesus.
Right, and to foster that relationship and the growth of depth and grace.
And that's what happened, you know?
Right,
and
right.
So wonderful to hear that. Thanks be to God, you know?
Thanks
that's
be to
the
God
starting
indeed.
Point.
That
you know?
Was the starting
that's
point.
That's the starting point, yeah.
Now here, miraculously, May 20th, 2008, when the Holy Spirit was just hitting my heart so powerfully that it compelled this overnight 180 conversion across the world, halfway across the world, my bride on May 20th, 2008, that exact date, was getting confirmed.
Wow. Of course, you didn't know her at all.
Nope, I didn't.
You wouldn't meet her till years to come, but
nope,
you found that out. Isn't that something?
But she was always the kind of woman who would pray for her future spouse. So she had been taught to pray for her future spouse, and she did. Long before she met me, she had been praying.
Yeah.
And this wonderful woman who interceded for me halfway across the world, the Holy Spirit saw fit to work in our lives so powerfully on the exact same day.
So you have this radical change in experience. What happened then?
What happened with your
bands and with your life and all the people you were committed to?
Well, I'll tell you what happened that very night, first of all.
Okay.
I came home. My parents knew me as this very angry, bitter individual. My family knew me that way. I came home singing one of the praise songs that I'd heard that night. I was literally singing it, and I was joyful. I was happy for the first time in life. 20 years. I was 20 years old. I was happy for the first time in life. And I was just singing one of the songs that I heard. I remember the song that I was singing too. It was by this secular praise leader called Don Moen. It's called Our Father. I was just singing that song. And I remember someone heard me and said, he's not going to last a month. Well, I don't know. It's been 11 years and I'm still going.
Yeah.
But so that happened. And then that very night onwards, Peter, again, like I knew what was happening. At 3 a.m., God would wake me up. And I'd go downstairs and I'd pick up the family Bible, blow the dust off because it's a Catholic Bible, and then flip all the way to the Old Testament. Again, like I knew what I was doing, I started memorizing scripture. And Peter, I kid you not when I tell you this, that day, that experience continued all the way until December when I prayed for it to stop because I kind of needed a little more sleep at that point. But the words in scripture were literally like fire. And I was eating them up for the first time in life and they made sense. They clicked. Everything clicked. Every bit of truth that I'd heard over 20 years clicked. And it was like the dams burst open.
Mm-hmm.
And I was devouring the scripture. In fact, the first verse I ever memorized, like I knew what I was doing, was Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14. And to this day, I didn't even know it was a popular verse when I memorized it. I was just devouring these words in scripture. And I had wronged the church so much at that point, I never thought that God would call me to a life of evangelization. All I knew was I was in love with this Jesus, and I wanted to give my life for him. And that continued on so much so that I realized I couldn't live the life that I was living anymore. So I dropped out of the band. I quit the rap group. We were working on recording songs, and I never signed off on the song, so they never got the permission to launch it. So in other words, the label didn't really make a lot of money off of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I quit the rap group. I quit the band. I quit that kind of public performance life. And I gave my life to this gospel. So after this experience, I started attending church again with my parents. I'd go to the Catholic Mass with them. And one of the things that struck me was how dead, if you will, Catholics were in their faith. They'd come to Mass, they'd do this thing, and they'd go home, and half the time they'd be talking, and they wouldn't take that celebration seriously. Meanwhile, that was the only version of Christianity I knew. So that's what I did. And then I went to the parish priest of that church that my parents attended, and I told him, I need someone to guide me in the faith because this just happened to me. I don't know how to navigate this. I need someone to mentor me. And he said, no, just go home and be a good son to your parents. And that was not what I needed to hear. And I'm very grateful that I didn't heed those words entirely because during that time, I became a Bible-taught Christian in my college. I just carried the Bible everywhere. I just wanted to talk to everyone about Jesus. The Pentecostals in my university, the Assemblies of God people in my university saw this. Immediately, they took me under their wing. And they began teaching me to read scripture, to start correlating Old and New Testament, drawing parallel verses together and what Christ is trying to say. They taught me how to pray with scripture. They taught me how to lead praise. And they taught me how to go into ministry and particular disciplines that I needed to learn. And we were just journeying together as a band of brothers, discerning a life of evangelization. And it was some of the most edifying moments of my life because we continued growing, falling deeper and deeper in love with Jesus. In fact, I remember one of the things that one of them told me was, and they looked at me and said, you know, I wish I could go back to where you are right now. That first moment of conversion where God speaks to you so clearly and you hear him and you just follow him entirely. And I remember sitting there thinking, what do you mean? This is going to be like this for the rest of my life. I'm always going to be like this.
Yeah.
11 years later, I'm looking back thinking there was a lot of wisdom in what they said.
Sure.
And so this began my 2-year stint with the Assemblies of God. I became a preacher with them and I was between two churches.
Wow, wonderful. So you were discipled by the Assemblies of God at a key time. It's interesting, you know, and I think the priest you spoke to, sometimes, unfortunately, it happens in the Catholic Church where somebody who had an experience like you, and you go to different leaders and they go, well, you know, that's nice, but, you know, relax, calm down, you know, just go back and be normal, you know what I'm kind of thinking. But God was stirring something in you, and he created a pathway. And I think the story, friends, if you enjoyed today's program, I encourage you to come back tomorrow because there's a lot to Marcus's story and his return back to the Catholic Church and the particular missions that the Lord has sent him on. So, this is Peter Herbeck and Marcus Peters saying, let's walk with the Lord today with all our heart, with high expectation for the glory of his name. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes scripture, catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.